702 Health and Wellness.
Our Health and Wellness feature this morning, we are discussing polycystic ovary syndrome, this hormonal condition that primarily affects women who are fertile, so between the ages of 15 and 44. It impacts the reproductive organs in women that produce hormones which control the menstrual cycle. And I was surprised to see that many women actually are unaware that they have PCOS. And in fact, I told you earlier about the study that showed that up to 70% of women with this condition actually haven't been diagnosed and hadn't been diagnosed at the time of that study being done. So let's find out more about this hormonal condition. You know, what are the causes? How do you treat it? What are the symptoms? Dr. Kasturi Moodley is an obstetrician and gynecologist at MediClinic South Africa. Dr. Moodley, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Hi, good morning. It's my pleasure.
What are the main causes of PCOS?
So the straightforward answer is at the moment we don't really know, but there have been many theories put forward over the years. There's a suggestion that it may even be a condition that you acquire whilst you're still in utero. And so then that's why a genetic predisposition between mothers, daughters, sisters, etc. Then there's environmental factors, lifestyle and diet, and obviously certain women in terms of certain ethnicities that might be predisposed. But we don't know for sure that there's an exact cause, which is why the treatment involves treating the symptoms as opposed to looking for a cause.
And what are those symptoms?
So it actually, simply put, is as a result of the hormonal imbalance, you get ovarian dysfunction and then associated metabolic disorders, meaning problems in certain organ systems. So essentially what happens is in the body, in the ovaries, the two main hormones that are responsible for our menstrual cycles are estrogen and progesterone, and they are directed by the brain. We have very little circulating testosterone, which manages the estrogen and progesterone in order to do the functions of getting an egg to be released to make a baby. Now, that is balance. When and if testosterone is in excess of normal, which is primarily what this condition is all about, then that results in an imbalance in your estrogen-progesterone, which then can then contribute to and ovulatory cycles, which result in irregular periods, be they no periods at all or very irregular erratic bleeding, then infertility for patients who are trying for a baby, and then other things like breakouts, acne, obesity, weight gain. Then you can develop medical conditions like diabetes, hypertension, conditions like hypercholesterolemia as long-term problems. So the main culprit here is an increased amount of testosterone, which dominates the body and then results in a negative cycle that the body just doesn't like.
What about the treatment then? What is the primary treatment for PCOS?
So treatment essentially is multifocal. And I think the most important point here is that's why a visit to the gynecologist is so important. It's not only to ascertain whether all is well, but to find out if, in fact, all is not well. So the diagnosis by a gynecologist is very important. Then a clear understanding of the long-term implications in order to offer a patient a holistic approach. There is not a one-step management to this patient. There's actually three-step management, which involves the hormones, managing it, and introducing exercise into a patient's life.
Okay.
And if we do all three simultaneously, and if we then follow patients through the different phases of their life, from their reproductive years into their childbearing years, into their perimenopausal and postmenopausal, because as these phases go through, we find that the condition changes. So it's a chronic condition for which we don't have we have treatments that can put it into remission, but we don't have a cure. So that is key to constantly maintaining all of these facets in order to keep it in remission to prevent the long-term sequelae or consequences.
Okay. 011-883-0702. You can give us a call or send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. We are discussing PCOS this morning on our health and wellness feature. And I'm interested in your own experiences, if this is a hormonal condition that you have, probably been diagnosed with, polycystic ovary syndrome. What are your experiences? How have you treated it? And what questions do you have around whether the causes, the symptoms, or the treatment? Give us a call or send us a WhatsApp voice note. It's 15 minutes now before 12 o'clock.
702. Health and wellness.
On our health and wellness feature this morning, polycystic ovary syndrome. That's what we're discussing. I want to go straight to your calls. 011-883-0702. Maybe you've got questions you want to send on the WhatsApp line as well. 072-702-1702. Dr. Kasturi Mudli is guiding us through this conversation. She's a gynecologist at MediClinic, MediClinic South. Dr. Mudli, there's someone asking here about, this is Mpo who's asking, does long-term use of contraception have an effect? Can it also contribute to this condition?
No, the answer is no. No. Like I said, we don't know the underlying cause, but most certainly a hormonal contraceptive is actually indicated as part of the treatment. As when we diagnose the condition for a woman not trying for a baby, the hormonal contraceptive suppresses the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which temporarily allows us to get back control of the menstrual cycle, the order, and then allows us to manage all the sequelae of the excess testosterone, focus on the diet, focus on the exercise and lifestyle, so that we then get all the other components in order.
Mm, okay.
So in answer to your, it is not responsible for the condition.
Mm, okay. Tim, you're calling us from Midrand. Good morning.
Hi, Clement.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, man. Nako pa wiyaga speedy ka speedy niya naman sa hospital tapish.
Sure.
Kinal problem on behalf of Madam Wakane. So what happened? Unar mo medication mo BP and then aba pregnante. Asa mo pregnante? Wana survive after 3 months where the baby died inside it because of high blood pressure. And then she went to the hospital somewhere in Krugersdorp for the operation mamitlina. And then we tried again after few months, maybe 4, 5, 6 months, and then we were lucky to have a pregnant for maternity, but they also couldn't survive after 4, 5 months.
Oh, no.
They stopped breathing, and then we went to the hospital. So they did the same thing to her again. And the doctor, they advised her, or as well, because BP having a pregnant is too high, and then blah, blah, blah. So, also, but the problem is that like every night, we are toilet, like every 10, 15 minutes, we are toilet. So, I would like to respect the doctor's experience. I would like to respect anything to do with the hospitals or doctors because I get the treatment in the area back then. So, I just want to know what sort of I'm shaking. I'm finding stop a fella who wrote, like it's abnormal. Like, come to the doctor 10 or 20 times. And then after 5 minutes, I toilet. After a second, and then after 10 minutes, I toilet. But during the day, it doesn't happen. So I don't know. Was there any problem? Maybe about that?
The operation. And was it both nearly the operation, Jeopardy, both the first time with the first child and the twins?
I don't know how they did it. I was not there. And then everybody, and then the twin boys, then they couldn't survive. They gone. And they because they have a shock, or they were pregnant. bum cut, something like that. I don't know, but lose the tubes or something to that effect. So we did it in two because nearly what we do every time I'm pregnant, then the baby dies after 3 months, 4 months. And then, so this issue, it was very bad. So I don't know.
Thanks, Tim. And I'm sorry, okay, man, to hear you about Bana. That's so, yeah, it's not a nice thing. Dr. Moodley, Tim is asking about, so the context that he's given me is that his wife was on BP medication and she fell pregnant the first time, but the baby didn't survive. In fact, the baby died before she was even born. And then the second time she falls pregnant again, and she fell pregnant with twins. The same thing happens after 5 months. They didn't survive. And she was advised that she has to sterilize because they could see that the parents are really struggling with this. And she was then diagnosed with PCOS. So he's asking that he's realized that his wife is now frequently urinating. So there's frequent urination that he's picked up. So after every 10 minutes or so, the wife, you know, has to go urinate. So he's asking if that's one of the underlying symptoms of PCOS and what can be done about it, because she doesn't want to go back to the hospital because she feels traumatized and she just doesn't want to go into that space anymore.
It is very, very sad and very upsetting, you know, especially when a patient does not understand what exactly is going on with their body. I think it obviously appears to be a lot more complex than what he is saying. Anything that results in the loss of a baby is obviously quite a complex issue. The only advice that I get, bladder related problems is not at the top of the list of presenting complaints when it comes to PCOS. Now we have to understand that PCOS as a metabolic condition can affect your pancreas with regards to insulin and sugar control, which can then result in diabetes. So if one does get diabetes, then that can affect the bladder control, but that has to be quite severe. So now we don't know if the PCOS has resulted in that, which has now resulted in the difficulty with the bladder control. So she definitely needs to visit a gynecologist and have a proper assessment in the non-pregnant state to try and identify if all of these things are linked, what treatment can be offered if, in fact, she would still like to try for another baby, and if not, at least to provide her with the support physically that she needs in order to lead a good quality of life.
Yeah. Debbie, you're in Sandton. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Are you speaking to Debbie?
Yes, Debbie, go ahead.
Hi, I would just like to ask the doctor about PCOS and PCOS related to a condition called methylation, which my daughter has been diagnosed with. I then went for blood tests, and I believe that it is a genetic condition that also relates to PCOS. It appears to be an extremely complicated process and quite relatively new to the medical fraternity. When I say new, I mean, you know, maybe 15, 20 years. I'm finding the information, you know, online, which I don't want to play Dr. Google, to be rather daunting. And she's under an outstanding endocrinologist, but the process is very difficult. I will listen on the radio to the response as I need to drive.
Okay.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Dr. Moodley?
When you say methylation, I want to know what symptoms has she presented with and what is her age?
Oh, yeah. I've just lost her there. We're going to try bring her back quickly, yes?
Because you see, the terminology of the biochemistry that happens is quite complex. And so essentially, The like I mentioned, the hyperandrogenism, which is the increase in testosterone, which then is unyields a cycle of a vicious cycle of affecting all other hormone systems in the body, which keeps the testosterone essentially in control, is what contributes then to all the symptoms experienced by individuals and all the long-term complications. So in essence, although we are learning more and more, that is the baseline of what is happening. And so the thought is, if we can break that initial cycle of reducing the testosterone from every aspect in the body where it can dominate, then that is what we need to do, which is why the hormonal intervention, why the dietary intervention, why the weight loss, why the reduction of stress, is because every one of those components contributes to increasing testosterone levels. So even when you give a contraceptive pill or a hormonal method, if you don't focus on those other aspects, you will never get control of the situation. And once you get beyond with sequelae, it can then become very, very difficult.
Yeah. So Debbie, Dr. Moodley wanted to know, how old is the child and what are the symptoms?
Okay. Ray is now 32 years old.
Yeah. And when was she diagnosed?
She was diagnosed around about 7 years ago.
Okay.
She is completely clear of any of those symptoms now under the endocrinologist. But I just thought that it would be helpful, to put it out there in this very interesting space for women who are going through this. She did have very high testosterone levels initially, but this has under the endocrinologist. She's actually had an outstanding result, and it appears that she is free of PCOS, but we will monitor the methylation probably for the rest of her life.
All right, Debbie, thank you. And Dr. Kasturi Moodley, thanks to you as well, obstetrician and gynecologist at MediClinic South. I appreciate your time.